All right. Happy first Wednesday of Advent to you. Thank you. And your response, I appreciate it. Hey, I want to read to you two journal entries from my prayer journal from 1994. Now, the context here is I am 34 years old. And the two entries come at opposite ends of a five-month waiting period of a very significant time in my life. The first entry, January 26, 1994, I write, "God, I hate waiting, and you know it. I am not a good waiter." To May, 5 months later, I write, "God, I trust you in this waiting process, and I submit myself afresh and anew to you today." It's pretty obvious from those two journal entries that over the five-month period time of waiting, God did a pretty transforming work in my life, calling me to trust and to depend on him more than I did before. My good friend Ben Patterson, in his book, Waiting, writes this: "Second only to suffering, waiting may be the greatest teacher and trainer in godliness, maturity, and genuine spirituality most of us ever encounter." Waiting. The season of Advent calls us to a posture of waiting where God can do a transforming work in each one of us. And one of the ways we have practiced this waiting over the past few years at Hope College is through a campus-wide prayer week that we hold the first full week of December during this season of Advent. And today, I have Hope seniors Allison Corso and Garrett Steyer. I like it. Okay, you guys, go ahead, give it to them. You can love them, Chris Dornbusch, you are really good at that. But I have Allison and Garrett with me today because they are giving the leadership this year to the campus-wide prayer event. But Allison and Garrett, before we talk specifically about the prayer event coming up, I want to ask you two some questions about waiting and prayer and what God's been doing in both of your lives in those areas. So here's the first question, and I'll start with you, Garrett, and Allison, you can tag on. How has God been expanding your vision of prayer?
Yeah, and Paul, to answer that, I'd like to really to point out a passage in Scripture, which is in 1 Thessalonians. This little couple of verses has really, it kind of captures where I've been learning about prayer in the last several months. It's 1 Thessalonians verses 15 through 18. It says, "See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all." I've learned a lot about praying for your enemies and praying for reconciliation with relationships, and also being responsible with that prayer, not only praying that we can, that God will work through us or that we can be a light to certain relationships, but that we will also be that light of Christ in relationships. That's been a huge thing I've learned with this focus on prayer. It goes on to say, always seek to do good with one another. And I've had this problem in the past with being very, I guess, selfish with my prayers. And it's been very me-oriented. And I've learned in the last year or two that our God is a God that works for the good of all people. And when we pray, it should be oriented for all people instead of our own needs or our own desires. It goes on in verse 16 through 18 to say, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's very easy to focus on negative things with our prayer lives. With exams coming up, I mean, it's a tough time. It's easy to focus on the hardships, the bad things that are happening. But in this scripture, it calls us to rejoice always and give thanks in all things. Which, if we really open our eyes and look around daily, there's so many blessings that are surrounding us that God has given to us. So.
That's awesome. Allison, how about you?
I think for me, the biggest thing that God has been teaching me about prayer is that in prayer, we seek outcomes. We seek what we want and when we want it and the way we want it. Yet in prayer, God seeks transformation, and he'll do that in any way. And like Garrett said, we say always, God works together for the good, for those who love him. But really, that good can mean, it can mean comfort, and it can mean success, but it can also mean trial and tribulation. And then also along with that, of just like what you were saying, of just being patient and waiting on the Lord. It says in Lamentations that the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And just to not, which is very countercultural. We're always very go, go, go. We need to be doing things. And our success is based on how much we're involved in. And God says, actually, no. I want your heart. And he wants us to be with him and be in his presence.
Yeah, those are good. Garrett and Allison, both of you have been leading a Tuesday night prayer group on campus that just formed this year. And you have been meeting on a weekly basis as a group and learning to pray, what it means to pray corporately together. Garrett, what have you been learning through that experience?
It's first opened my eyes to how many wonderful people are surrounding us daily. With the students and also some faculty and elders in the community that we've had in. But with a group like that, there can be this, being a bunch of young Christians, there's a lot of enthusiasm that comes with that, which is terrific. But with that comes this thought that we're starting this this movement. And we've had an opportunity to have, in the past 2 months, to have a number of elders from our community.
And when you say elders, you mean old people.
Some being Hope alumni,
old
yeah.
People. Like my mom. Yeah.
People like you.
Yeah, yeah. that wasn't in the script, Garrett. I'm not reading that.
But yeah, there's been people like Paul's mother, a lot of Hope alumni, and also some staff have come in and talked with us. And it's been really great to hear their testimonies and hear how there's been this prayer for Hope College going long before most of us were even born. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we come in with this enthusiasm. We think we've got to really start this revival on campus because we feel as if God is stagnant or something. But I've really learned that through these testimonies of these people that God is moving. I mean, it's evident if you are awake right now and you can see all these people here in this room. God is at work on this campus and has been, and it's just been a great blessing to learn.
And we get to join in with it, don't we? Which is a great transition of talk to us about this week-long campus-wide prayer. Both of you have been involved in it in the last few years because we've done it the last couple of years. What was so meaningful for you, not as a leader the last couple of years, but as a participant? Allison?
It was just really awesome to have very intentional time that I could set out and be in the prayer room and be away and just quiet my soul. But at the same time, I also 1 year went with my small group, and we got to go and pray together and also separately and just spend time with the Lord as a group, which was really awesome.
Garrett, how about you?
With prayer, when you pray with people, pray with friends, pray with family or whatever, there comes this unique unity and and also a
hold
sense
it, hold
of
it. Unity.
Unity.
Homothumos. Homothumos.
Homothumos.
I like that. Thank you.
And this sense of sense of trust that comes through that prayer, and that's what I've experienced being a part of different prayer things here on campus, different groups. There's just this trust that that relationship gains that really you don't. I haven't found it comes from anything but prayer. So.
Hmm. Yeah. And there is, and I do pick up on that unity piece. As we talked about, when God's people do come in unity with not only each other, but with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the scriptures promise that the power of God will be released through his Holy Spirit, not only on the body, but on those in the community and the world as well. So it is. God's power is released. So, okay, it's going to start next week,
yes.
Monday through Friday. Let's get real practical here. Do you got to be like, what about some people who've like never done this before? I mean, is this only for like the really super spiritual people to do this? Or, I mean, do you got to...
Of course. Yeah. Definitely.
That's why we're up here.
Level 4 prayer person, you may enter. But quickly, we got about 2 minutes. Who's this for?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Friends and enemies.
Yeah.
Come.
That's good. I like that. Friends and enemies. Yeah. And who knows what the Lord will do when you begin to pray together. Okay, it's going to be Monday through
Friday,
starting from 7 to 11. We're calling it 7-11 prayer, 7 in the morning to 11 at night, half-hour slots that you can sign up. Now, only by yourself? I mean, if like I sign up for the 7 o'clock slot on Monday, I don't want anybody else in that room with me. Is that true?
No.
No. Other
you
people can...
Yes, there can be groups.
Small groups.
Small groups can go,
1, 2, 4, yeah, any number of people.
Wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And 3.
And you can sign up, we can sign up online starting as you leave, or if you get your cool smartphone like I do, you could even sign up today. Go on No Hope, and under there's a sign up for a prayer link, or go to our website on campus ministry, and you can sign up that way.
Yep.
What you'll do is you'll go to this slot, and you'll just put your initials in that slot. And just because it's full doesn't mean other people can't sign up during that time. Now, Allison, what if I forgot, and it's Tuesday, and it's 11 o'clock, and I really would love to pray at that time, but I didn't sign up. Can I still go?
Well, I think Graves is going to be closed then unless you...
No, 11 in the afternoon.
Oh, in the morning?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So you could go spontaneously as well, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And join
it. We encourage that.
Okay, last question, because we're running out of time. Last question.
What do I know?
What do we do for a half hour? I've never prayed for more than 4 or 5 minutes in my life. How do I use a half hour? Are you going to help us? Are there resources there in Schoon Chapel to help us do that?
Yeah, we have stuff like books like this, the Common Prayer Book, and you can go through it day by day and read through it. You can pray through scripture. There's going to be worship times at night at 9 p.m. We're going to have community worship, but there's music there. You can listen or sing, dance. There's art. You can do art.
Wonderful. So there'll be resources there as well. And here's the last thing, Schoon Chapel. How many know where Schoon Chapel is? How many don't know where Schoon Chapel is? Okay, very good. Schoon Chapel is over in Graves, the building next to us. Go down in the basement, and there'll be a sign, and you'll be amazed. One of the coolest places on campus you aren't aware of, and you can go and find it there. So here's the thought. Hey, as we close up, we get to join in with the saints who have been praying for Hope College and the kingdom of God to be spread throughout the world. We get to join in with people who have been doing that for hundreds of years here in the Holland community. And so we're going to close with this by Allison closing us out, and then you're off. Thanks, right. Allison.
Abba, Father, we thank you for this day, God, a day that was not promised to us. God, we just thank you so much. Father, we just ask in this day, God, and in the week to come that you would open our hearts and prepare our hearts for what it is that you have for this campus, God, and that you would just pour out your spirit on this campus, God. We want more of you, God, and we consecrate this time of prayer to you, God, and we just want to glorify you and honor you. by setting aside intentional time, God, and we want to encounter you in new ways, God. God, and as we leave this place today, God, we just ask that you would open our eyes to who you are and where you are, God, all around us on this campus. And we pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.